The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house as we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord, prepares us for Lent and prepares us for life in a rather difficult world. Thank you for braving the weather this morning to celebrate our Lord's transfiguration. Thank you also to all of you who did so much for May's funeral, especially for the luncheon yesterday. Once again, the family commented in spades about the care of this congregation. In our prayers today, we include Al Roney, a friend of Ken Bald and Ron Stellhorn. We also, in the service, dedicate these new stands that Ken has constructed for use to hold the communion cup trays. There's the trays for the communion cups. Beautiful work. Thank you, Ken. Lent begins this Wednesday. Worship is at 7:15 p.m. That's Ash Wednesday worship. That includes both ashes and communion. We don't have a Lenten supper this week, but we will have all the other Wednesdays in Lent. So sign up back in the narthex for items that you would like to bring for the supper. Suppers are at 6:30, services at 7:15, but again, this Wednesday, just the service. Also sign up for Easter Lilies and for the concert of the Concordia University a cappella choir. That's on March the 31st, I believe, back in the narthex. Elders meet Tuesday and Christian Education meets Wednesday. Is that correct, Robin? Okay, thank you. Any other announcements or other prayers today? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and to know that He will bless us as that Lord who is now is now permanently transfigured in glory comes to us in His word, in His supper, to prepare us for life in this world with the promise that that glory will be shared with us.
Thank you.
the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, you once confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of the ancient fathers, and in the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wondrously foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Therefore, mercifully make us co-heirs with our King of his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I've let you see it with your eyes, but you should not go over there." So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. And no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of the wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord has sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord and he answered them. In the pillar of the cloud he spoke to them. They kept his testimonies and the statute that he gave them. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations.
Today's epistle reading is from the book of Hebrews, the third chapter. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him."
Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah. Halle, halle, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, namely the saying that Jesus was going to die and rise, he took with him Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And no one in those days, told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
see thy glory face to face.
The word of God that calls for our attention as we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord is the gospel for this day from Luke chapter 9. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our glorious Lord, Jesus Christ. Item number one, this past week, 44 senators, all of whom happen to be Democrats, voted against a bill that would have blocked infanticide, outlawed infanticide. 44 senators, both senators from Illinois included, all of the senators who've already declared themselves as presidential candidates included, voted that it was okay for a child who had been born and was alive to be killed if the mother wished for that child to have been aborted. Item two, rampant sex outside of marriage not only defies God, but crumbles the very foundation on which our society is built. And yet even Christians don't seem to be too concerned about it. Item number three, God declares that marriage is at its heart a commitment between a man and a woman for life. But we've let society lead us to redefine marriage as a mutual feeling between a man and a woman. And so it wasn't a long stretch for our society to go the next step and say, oh, well, that could be a mutual feeling between any two human beings. And now governments are prosecuting Christians who cannot, in good conscience, provide a venue or a cake for a same-sex ceremony. It doesn't matter even when the Christians win the court case. Their business has already been destroyed. And I could give you a whole litany of names and places. We Christians should care about homosexuals. We Christians should be friends with homosexuals. We Christians should welcome homosexuals into our congregations. But you should always warn me about my sin. I should always warn you about your sin, and we must also warn them about their sin. Because we call one another to repentance. It is the way of love. Meanwhile, we Christians cannot back down in the public square from our constitutionally given rights. But why are we doing so? Why aren't we speaking up? Why are we not in droves, not writing letters to our legislators and standing up and protesting in public places the way other interest groups are? One Christian has suggested it is because of confusion, complacency, and cowardice. I think he's onto something. Confusion, because we're not sure what the issues are sometimes, and we don't want to blur the line between church and state. Complacency, because, well, we just don't care, or we don't think anybody's going to listen to us anyway. Cowardice, because we worry about what other people will say. We don't want to be called unloving homophobes. Peter can relate to the pressure. He would sit down and eat with fellow Christians who were Gentiles until some of his fellow Jews put pressure on him to stop eating with the Gentiles. And then Peter would only eat with Jews. Why? Because he was a coward, like I'm a coward and you are. And that is one of the reasons why our Lord provides us with the transfiguration. Because he knows that Peter is a coward at heart. He knows I'm a coward at heart, and so are you.
And so before he ever sends Peter out into the world, or James, or John, or you, or me, before he puts us out into that hostile society, he first gives us the transfiguration so that we understand that Jesus is God's Son carrying out God's plan to give us God's victory. First, he is God's Son. Peter and James and John can tell you firsthand that Jesus is clearly a human. They saw him eat whenever he was hungry, drink whenever he was thirsty, sleep whenever he was tired. The Father and the Holy Spirit do not eat or drink or sleep. Clearly, Jesus is a human. He doesn't wear a halo as he walks around Galilee. He looks like any other human. So if God the Father wants us to know that Jesus isn't just another human, then he's going to have to show us and tell us. That's why he gives us a transfiguration. He shows us. Nobody but God could glow with that kind of glory. And the Father says from the cloud, not this is an ordinary human, but this is my Son, my chosen one. Rest of the time while he walked on this earth, Jesus covered up that glory that he has as God. You couldn't really see it. I think that was so that unholy people like you and me wouldn't drop dead the moment they saw Jesus. But Peter and James and John get a glimpse of Jesus' undiminished glory there on that mountain, just for a moment, for good reason. There have been lots of humans in the history of the world who've died some pretty gruesome deaths. But one of those who died a gruesome death is also God. The Transfiguration tells you that. And that God gave his life for you. So when you are tempted to give in to your cowardice, to back down, to not be bold, remember the Transfiguration. It says that you are so valuable to that one who glowed with glory that he was willing to lay down his life to have you. He's the one who dwells in you. And he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So do not be timid. The Transfiguration tells you who you have on your side. Jesus is God's Son. And he's carrying out God's plan. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart died when he was 35 years old, already considered one of the greatest composers of all time. After only 35 years, how much more could he have accomplished if he'd have lived to be 60 or 80 or 100 years old? Jesus was only 33 years old when he died. 33 years old, already the greatest human who's ever lived. But how much greater could he have been? You'd think he could have accomplished so much more if he'd have lived 60 or 80 or 100 years. You'd think wrong. If Peter had gotten his way, if he could have pitched those tents that he had suggested to Jesus on the mountain, then they could have camped out. They could have avoided Jerusalem. They could have made sure that Jesus stayed alive. They would have never put him on a cross. And that wouldn't have made a bit of difference for Jesus. He would, right now, be reigning in glory just the same as he is. But you wouldn't have any hope of reigning with him, because you would still have your sin. Your destiny would be hell. This is not an acceptable solution to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so they come up with an alternative plan. And they begin to reveal that plan to the apostles. Jesus starts to reveal that plan 1 week before the Transfiguration. He says, the Son of Man must suffer and die. And Peter said, you can't suffer or die, I think, because he was thinking the Messiah has to live forever. The Old Testament says so. Jesus, in effect, replies, I must suffer and die. It's God's plan. And from the cloud, the Father says, this is my Son. Listen to him. Listen to him when he says that he must die. He knows what he's talking about. He's carrying out our plan. Moses, Elijah, what are they talking to Jesus about on that mountain? Luke tells us. They spoke about, and I quote, his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. They were talking about his carrying out of his Father's plan. Even even when he is in his moment of greatest glory, from our point of view, from his point of view, his greatest moment of glory on earth was hanging on a cross. But from our point of view, it was there at the Transfiguration, and at that moment, he was thinking about you and how he was going to carry out God's plan to make you God's own again. This is why he does not let Peter put up those tents. It is why he covers up his glory, walks down the mountain, so that he can drag a cross up another mountain and complete God's plan. And when he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, and then 3 days later, when his dead body came out of the cemetery alive, he had fulfilled everything that he was sent to do. He had taken away your sin and conquered death for you so that you could be with the Father forever. There wasn't anything more he could do. So if he had lived 80, 100, 1,000 years more, Jesus would not have accomplished more than he accomplished in the 33 years that he was on this earth. He had carried out God's plan just as it was intended. The Transfiguration says Jesus is God's Son and he's carrying out God's plan. It is all to give you God's victory. And down the stretch they come. Devil's Due is in the lead. Devil's Due is way in the lead. Savior's Challenge is back more lengths than I could possibly count. Savior's Challenge is now dead on the track. He's not going to win this day. He's not going to win any day. It's Devil's Due. You know that a dead horse is not going to win the race, and you assume a dead Messiah couldn't possibly win against Satan. The Transfiguration is God's correction of that notion. You see, if Peter and James and John are going to have the guts to defy the authorities and speak about Jesus, if they are going to put their lives on the line, if they are going to be faithful unto death, then they're going to have to know before they put their lives on the line for Jesus that he's able to do the impossible, that he's able to win the victory when the horse is laying dead on the track. And we need to know the same. Because if we're going to die and stay dead, there's no reason to put our lives on the line for our Lord. If we are going to act the way our Lord calls us to act, if we are going to overcome our inborn cowardice, if you and I are going to stand up in this culture that's now saying it's okay even to kill born babies, we need to know that what we see here, this unglorious world, is not all there is. We need to know there's something better waiting for us after death, and that's what the Transfiguration is showing us. Before they ever start plotting against Jesus, there's the Transfiguration. Before Lent ever begins, there's the Transfiguration to show them and us Easter is going to happen. There isn't any doubt. It's God saying, there, you see Jesus in all of that glory on the mountain, dazzling bright? That's not just Jesus' glory. That is not just Moses and Elijah's glory. That is your glory. Oh, wondrous type, oh vision fair of glory that the church may share, and you are part of that church. You have been connected to Jesus by baptism. What he gets, you get. What he got was suffering and sorrow while he did his Father's work in this world. What should you expect? Suffering and sorrow while you do his Father's work in this world. And now he is enthroned in glory. That's what you should expect is waiting for you. That is what is waiting for you. God promises it. What Peter and James and John saw on the mountain, that's your glory waiting. Soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. To say, bring it on, culture. Bring it on, Satan. Bring it on, world. Do whatever you want to do to me. Whatever you inflict on me is temporary. I have seen with Peter and James and John what is permanent. I am going to be transfigured. Transfigured like my Lord, who he promises that he will take my lowly body and make it like his glorious body on the day he returns. That's the promise, that even when Savior's Challenge is dead on the track, dead on the cross, it's not the end of the story. Even if they kill you, it is not the end of the story. There is no doubt the victory has been won by the one who was dead
The transfiguration is God's guarantee. As your Lord sends you out into that world that is sometimes trying, sometimes hostile, do not be complacent. Do not be a coward, because you have the transfiguration showing you that Jesus is God's Son, carrying out God's plan to give you God's victory. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Moses was commanded by our Lord to receive gifts from the people for the purification of the sanctuary. Exodus chapter 35. Then all the congregation of the people came, everyone whose heart stirred him, everyone whose spirit moved him. And they brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service. Let us pray. O God, you have directed us to bring offerings for your glory. We implore you to bless these stands for use in your house. Grant that they may reflect our love for you, benefit your church, and glorify you because talents you have been given have been used to make them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I consecrate these stands for use in the house of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We remain standing for prayer.
Beautiful Savior and Lord of glory, hear our prayers as you have promised to do. Let us pray for Will, for Rachel, and for all of us who have been baptized.
Lord of glory, you revealed your divinity at the transfiguration. You reveal yourself to us now through your word. Keep us in faith. Strengthen our resolve to live for you. Enable us boldly to shine your light in this dark and difficult world.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for Christ's church, including St. Mark, Zion, St. John, and Trinity congregations.
Lord of glory, you bought your church with your precious blood. Keep her faithful in confession and faith. Never let us forsake you or be led astray by the enticements of earth. Grant repentance and restoration to our members who neglect your word.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the church leaders.
Lord of glory, give courage, strength, and guidance to Matthew, our Synod President, Timothy, our District President, and all who lead us. Fill them with wisdom and integrity, with zeal to defend your truth, and with a commitment to get the gospel to all people.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who live without faith in Jesus.
Lord of glory, send your Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of those who do not realize that your saving work is for them. Be with those who serve in prison and campus ministries around our district and with all chaplains and missionaries everywhere. Assure each of us of your transfiguration promises so that we eagerly tell others about your saving work.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for government and those in authority.
Lord of glory, fill our leaders with wisdom and courage so that they act according to your commands, which are always good. When governments demand that your people disobey, give us the will and the words to stand firm for what is just and moral, no matter what the consequences. Bring peace to nations in conflict, including Venezuela, and grant your care to those who are suffering from the effects of war.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who feel alone and for our members who cannot come to worship.
Lord of glory, grant your comfort and consolation to all who are lonely or shut in, including Jeanette and Ed. Assure each of them of your steadfast love. Connect them with people who care. Give to us watchful eyes that notice and loving hearts that reach out to them.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who need healing or help, including Nina, Sharon, Al, Matt, Tara, Charles, Steve, Larry, Devin, Barb, Ellis, Sherry, Jeff, Daryl, Kathy, Mel, Steve, Darnell, Gertrude, and Taylor.
Lord of glory, grant to each of them relief, peace, patience, faith, and a confident trust in your care. And fill the families of Bear and May with your assurance and your comfort.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who do not have the necessities of life.
Lord of glory, provide for those who lack food, clothing, shelter, or anything else they need. Move us who have received your gifts in abundance to find joy in sharing those gifts with the people around us.
Glorious Lord,
have mercy and hear our prayer.
Let us give thanks for God's goodness.
Lord of glory, we praise you for your merciful work in our lives. Grant to our marriages and our families faithfulness and love. Heal every broken relationship. Thank you for the Christian life and the witness of Colleen and Linda, whom we remember with love.
Glorious Lord, have mercy and hear our prayer.
Lord of glory and mercy, into your nail-scarred hands, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your promise to hear our prayer. As you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We stand for the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O God.
God, you take away the sin of the world.
Assurance that his transfiguration glory will be shared with you, who wins peace.
Thank you. body of Christ given for you. This is the true body of Christ given for you.
Just you.
The true body of Christ given for you. Supplying now, though daily earth's deep sadness perplexes, and the Lord Jesus has given to you his body, his blood, his transfiguration glory in you. Go. From heaven above, a ray of purest pleasure, your word and spirit, flesh and blood, refresh our souls with heavenly food.
The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and preserve you steadfast in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty Lord God, you have given your Son to be the light of the world. Enlighten our lives with the forgiveness of his body and blood, that we who now adore him unseen may in the end of days behold him face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.